guys. Who let those two ladies asking all those questions in? I'm just kidding. Oh, praise God. Pastor Ben is not in the state currently, so he's at a, if you're wondering why he's not here, I'm the pinch hitter tonight, so I'm sorry in advance, but he's at a ministries conference in Kansas, I think. So he will be back Thursday, so he'll be back Sunday, and if you have any questions, you can just email him that I said something wrong. Just forward him and talk to him. praise God. What a great Sunday we had with Pastor Ben preaching, and such a good message of self-worth, and oh my goodness, so many good things. Let's pray before we go to the Word. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this time. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, God, in this house. I thank you for this house, God. I thank you, God, for your Word. I thank you that it's living and active and powerful and effective, God. So I pray that the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation be upon us, God. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would reveal yourself through your Word tonight. God, use me as a vessel, as an instrument. Let me not speak anything that is on my own accord, God, but everything that what you want to say to your people, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, little shameless plug, Thursday, the first Thursday in May is National Day of Prayer. So that's Thursday, yeah, the first Thursday. So I have some more pamphlets over there, but I got some things from the National Day of Prayer organization. So there's Adventures in Prayer for Kids. There's a world prayer map. So how to pray for our world, how to pray for USA. How many know we need prayer, especially in these times that we're living in and political season and all this stuff. And then even have one in Spanish. So I know there's a couple people that are fluent in Spanish. So there you go. So we live in a crazy world, right? So tonight, the message I have, the Lord just over the last couple of weeks, was specifically mixing the word with faith. And boy, can we be distracted. I feel like we live in the most distracted world in history. I mean, I haven't been, lived forever, but I feel like we're so distracted. Like culturally, politically, our own things that we're going through, struggles we're seeing, we're being defiled, desensitized by things we're hearing in news. And sometimes I feel like we just need to come out of that. So tonight, I just pray that you guys are encouraged. I want to equip you just how to come out of that, because we can know the end of the age that we're living in, right? We're living in end times, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm not trying to be a doomsayer, but I want to, before the storm hits, we have to be persuaded. We have to be convinced that God is powerful, God is mighty, and God is good no matter what we're going through. So we want to come out of that cultural, political narrative and be one with the biblical narrative, because that's what's most important, because we're eternal beings, and that's what's going to last forever, how to respond to everything. It's definitely not how we start, right? Thank God. It is not how we start, but it's absolutely how we finish. I want to finish strong. And as I get older in my spiritual journey and physical life, boy, it certainly is a temptation sometimes to get even more negative. You're seeing things more critical. And it takes time to just be intentional with your walk with God. I feel like this time that, for me, we're on the narrow path, right? We're on that narrow path, a path that is only one way. It's through Jesus Christ to get to God the Father, right? But I feel like the narrow path is getting narrower. Meaning, some things are permissible for you to do, and they're not necessarily a sin, but they don't profit your walk with Christ. It's okay to watch violent movies. It's not necessarily a sin, but it might not be profiting your walk with Christ in this time. Sometimes there's just distractions or just, like movies or whatever it is. And for me, he's telling me, pick up that cross. Pick up that cross and die. It's not a really popular message, but we have to die daily. And on Thursday nights, we talk about that, of I need to die. He doesn't need our help. He needs your death. And it feels like that every single time. When I feel like I want to add something to the conversation and it becomes about my experience and not listening to understand, you die. Like, okay, I'm just listening to them. I could really add to this. Maybe nobody else goes through that, but I do. And just listen to them. It does feel like you're dying. When you feel like somebody's wronged you and it's painful and they've really hurt you, and it's whether it's a brother or sister in Christ or it's whatever, family or working situations, whatever it may be, to bless them, to honor them, feels like you're dying. It really does. But that is the way of the cross. That is the way that Jesus asks us. So tonight we're going to talk about mixing that word with faith. We're going to unpack that. We're going to talk about how does the word benefit us, because we're going to talk about our text tonight is Hebrews 3:12 through 4:13. And it talks about the word benefiting us and profiting us, and there's a danger it might not do that. So I want the word to benefit us. I don't know about you guys, but I want that hundredfold. We talk about the 30, 60, and hundredfold. I want the word to, not for my glory, but for his. That's what's at stake, the glory of his name, to see how powerful he is. So I want to give you a couple quotes that I found interesting. Billy Graham said this about rest and, you know, working the word with faith. It says, there is no rest in any other direction. He alone is the source of life and joy and soul rest. In the most restless age of history, Christ can give you rest. This rest that Jesus gives will endure the ravages of time and abide through all eternity. And I'm thinking, Billy Graham passed away some time ago, and he was thinking that was a very distracted time. But, you know, we can find rest for our soul. You know, I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we get really weary. We can get really tired, emotionally, physical. And there's a lot of burnout that happens. Emotional burnout, physical burnout. I found this in Mental Health America magazine. It says 65% of workers say they suffered burnout in 2023. Emotional and physical exhaustion because of the constant connection with the world through technology. They never feel like they're off. They're always on. They're always, you know, your phone is always on. You're always connected to the world, where there's positives to that, but then you have to draw the line of family and work, and they always feel like, and it's really grabbing their attention. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. The verse was really sticking out to me for Hebrews 4:2, but as you know, in Hebrews, some of the doctrines that come through kind of flow into the chapters before. So chapter 4 is about the rest that God promised, but then contextually, he's warning, the writer Hebrews is warning about unbelief before that, and specifically the Israelites, you know, when they were looking out at the promised land, and how, you know, we'll talk about that. So Hebrews 3 verse 12, the version might be, I'll go up this one. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom has he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. 4:1, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, and they also as the Israelites. But the word they heard did not profit, some translations say benefit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So that's, I'm going to just end there. There's so much to unpack there, but I want the word. A lot of people can be around hearing miracles, signs, wonders, the children of Israel. There was a cost that Jesus paid through God to get them out of Egypt, right, into the promised land. They saw miracles. They saw the glory, the cloud, and the pillar of fire. They saw bread rain down, yet they were in unbelief. So I don't want us to move out of that promise of in unbelief. So if we want the word to benefit you, we have to mix it with faith. In the NRSV, it says, take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but exhort one another. So God called this generation evil, and he called it evil because they were unbelieving. And sometimes, you know, when they were in that situation, they still hadn't left Egypt. They still hadn't left the bondage. Their mentality wasn't changed. Just like the 12 spies, right? 8 of the spies saw what they looked with their eyes, and that's what they saw. But that's not what... let me get back to my notes because I'm going off. He called those that brought back an evil report an evil generation. They reported what they saw and they felt and what they heard. When we see and hear and feel a report, it's only evil when it disagrees with God's word. So we can have bad things happen. God allows those things to happen to us to make us more like him. 8 of the 10 spies, when they were spying out the promised land, spoke their fears, and their fears paralyzed them, right? God was upset because they didn't listen to what he said. They knew what God said, but they deliberately spoke against what God and his promise over them. So this is the moment that they could say, oh, like Joshua and Caleb, I believe God is bigger than this. They were persuaded. They were convinced, because what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things not yet seen. So they did not have that. They were not impressed with God. So we got to be impressed with God now. We got to be persuaded before the storm happens. Otherwise, when the storm happens, we're going to feel like God's nowhere to be found. Look at, it's overwhelming us. It's debilitating us. And that fear overcomes us. But Joshua and Caleb stood in faith while all the doubters died. That whole generation died. Like, I read that. This is how I read my Bible. Like, it was written by the Holy Spirit. Like, I asked the Holy Spirit, help me to read this. Like, can you imagine? 40 years they held fast their confession. And then Caleb, another 40 years, and he was 85 years old, and he said, give me the giants in this mountain. That's a lot. Like that whole generation, they were the only ones that stood in that generation for 40 years. I mean, we talk about instant society. We want things right away. I'm not seeing something. I've been praying for 10, 15 years, 40 years, just to get in context of that's a lot. That's a long time. Hudson Taylor, he was a missionary. He said, it's not about great faith, but it's about faith in a great God. Faith in a great God. So sometimes we can say, I don't know if I have this faith, but James talks about faith comes from hearing the word of God. So when you go over like Psalms and you're like, and you're in a really dark place and you're emotionally just not there, read over Psalms, read over the miracles of the Lord, and look how powerful he is. And if not, look at the cross. Take time. I will never get tired of talking about the cross. Ever. Like the old rugged cross, like, you know, Passion of the Christ. That was pretty gruesome where they showed Jesus being whipped, but I don't think it was anywhere near what actually happened. You know, Michelle wrote a paper, Scourged, right? And that in her paper, she talked about his bones were probably exposed. And he said, no one could take death from him. He said, I gave up my spirit. So no one killed him. No one killed God. His heart burst within him. That's why in his side, blood and water came out. And that's how we're born into the kingdom, right? But you think of, sometimes I have to use your sanctified imagination. Take time to use that sanctified imagination. Think of his back, open, gaping wounds on an old rugged cross like that one on the wall. Open wounds, splinters, bones opening up so he could, the heart is not what he did, it's why he did it. Because he was in love with you. He wanted to be inside you. It wasn't enough being next to you. So what a price he paid on that cross. Each breath, could you imagine the open wounds, his what it felt like with the back of his head against it with the crown of thorns. And I'm telling you, when you do this, and you feel looking at the cross, or if you ever feel like, does God love me? Picture yourself like Mary and John in that movie, looking up at the cross and saying that. He loves you. He absolutely loves you. Paul talks about, yeah, faith comes from hearing the word of God. God, in the writer in Hebrews, was trying to get his people to mix faith with his words. Hebrews 4:2, the gospel was preached to us as well as to the Israelites, but the word preached didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. So what does that look like? What does it look like? So what are we struggling with? How are we struggling with mental health? Are we struggling with our marriage? Or like Pastor Ben talked about on self-worth. It's praying the word back. So it kind of overlaps with praying, really. Even the songs that we sang, I trust in God because he answered my prayers and he listened. So we can say, Lord, you said you order the steps of the righteous. You know, say you need clarity for a direction that your job is going. You can quote the word back to him, and that's applying the word by faith, saying, Lord, you said you direct the steps of the righteous. I'm righteous because I got Jesus on the inside of me. So Lord, I don't know my steps, but you do. So I am standing firm on that verse. Or you said I can do all things through Christ, who strength. You are inside me. You live on the inside of me. So it's just appropriating. That's what it means to mix the word with faith. So Trey, could you help me? I'm going to do a demonstration. I'm so excited about this demonstration. So I got some water here. Thank you. I think I'm going the wrong way with this. Okay. So you probably have seen this demonstration before. So we were supposed to have raincoats for everybody. This is like one of those.
Mark said, is she going to drink this up
there? Yeah. Actually, Mark, why don't you do a demonstration? No. So this water represents the word of God. Right? I just want to make sure I'm saying this right. So we say the water is a refreshing water, washing the water of the word. So the word of God is in Scripture represents the word. Okay. Then we have what we eat too much of, sugar, white sugar. So this is, I'm going to mix this in here. Have you guys ever seen this demonstration? Oh, I feel like a teacher right now. Okay, so we're going to mix faith with the Word of God, right? We're going to dump this whole thing in here. The whole, well, yeah. Oh, maybe that's too much. Okay, and then when we stir it, you guys had science class? No, this, and then you, maybe it's, hopefully this works in front of everybody. And then you keep stirring it, and actually a transformation happens. I hope this happens. Where's Michelle when you need her? Where is she? No, I'm just kidding. So then eventually when you keep stirring it, it'll be a transformation. And it's mixing the word with our faith. Maybe I put too much sugar in there. But when you keep mixing it, it'll be clear. And right? Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. And it's transformative, right? I hope this really works. Maybe I put too much sugar in it. But you get the idea. It's supposed to become clear. I'm just going to sit up here for the next 20 minutes. Oh, my gosh. I think I did put too much sugar in here. Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep stirring. I think I put too much sugar. Anyways, so it really transforms. So you really can't see, you know, the sugar in there, right? It gets dissolved. It's one. Should I keep doing it, Sandy? So it gets dissolved. So that's what our faith and the Word of God, it becomes one. It becomes transformative. It there's no, it's union. It can't separate it. That's what the Word of God, we need to get the Word of God inside of us. It can't be on next to us. It has to be inside of us to transform us. Okay, clearly I put too much in. Okay, so now, so this is hydrophobic sand. Water, that's fear of water. Water, the sand that's covered in a chemical, so that when it goes into the water, it still comes out, it'll settle to the bottom. I really wish this would be clear, like I did it at home, and it was like amazing. I think I put too much sugar, but it becomes clear, but then you put this in, and you'll see it, well, you'd see it a lot better if it, so you can see the big chunks, it doesn't dissolve, right? This is the sand that's afraid of water. And the chemical coats it. When you put it in the water, it actually forms air bubbles. You can see it. But literally, when you bring some of it out, it's still dry. So it does not mix with your faith. Does not mix with your faith. So the sand would represent unbelief. The sand would represent my own ways. The sand would represent any sin that doesn't mix with your faith. And you can feel when it doesn't mix with your faith. It doesn't feel good. Pride, jealousy, envy, lust, lying, any of those things. And you can see it's not mixing, you know, with it. And then you can literally bring it out. And it's not in union with your spirit. Boy, I really wish that was clear. But it's not in union with your faith and the Word of God. The Word of God are transformative. They're one. You can't separate them. But the yucky parts, the unbelief, that doesn't connect to it, right? Now that I have this all. It's really much better at home. I was amazed at it. I saw a video. I'm like, I'm going to do that. But sorry for the fail. So no matter how much you stir that sand, it never mixes. It never mixes with that, the word and your faith. No matter how much you try, you want to go your own way. Like, I can do 20 reasons if we're struggling with a problem. Oh, maybe we should do this, or maybe we should do that. Or that in its own right is its own distraction. And it doesn't feel right with your faith. It is getting clear, see? By the end, it's going to get clear, in Jesus' name. what did I just say? So no matter how hard you try, it doesn't feel right. When you start aligning yourself with the Word of God and you start speaking the Word of God back to God, that's what He wants. That's what pleases Him. That's His will. So when you say, when you start saying, that's how He communicates with you. That's His love language. That's how He speaks. That's how He thinks. And so when you start saying those things back to Him, oh, that blesses Him. And it feels right. You know, when you do, like you bless somebody or that's maybe extravagant and it kind of costs you something, it feels right. It feels right to serve God's people. Or it feels right to do. Unbelief, that doesn't feel right. When God's telling you to do something and you're not obeying, it just, there's something and you're like, He's knocking on your heart. You really should pray. He's knocking. He's the one that initiates that. And when you do it, and you're like, oh, that felt right. That felt really good. I actually obeyed today. And it feels good, right? Feels good when you obey God. And there's grace for us. Absolutely. So that is what unbelief does. Hebrews 4:6, unbelief coats us from hearing preaching, but if unbelief coats, it's not mixing with faith. We can't get the sugar out of the jar. I can't do it. I can't take sugar. It's all mixed together, and it's dissolving. Six reasons, if you're taking notes, six reasons to speak God's word. Mark 11:23. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance to God's will. He says you need faith as a mustard seed. Really little. Believing God's word. Get out of our way, like saying, "Get the giants, get out of our way." You have the living God who is alive, the only God that's alive. There is no other God that has died for its people and is alive, right? Amen. Matthew 12:34, the second reason. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart is going to get it in your mouth. You believe what you speak. So, yeah, there's areas that I can believe God for some things, but sometimes there is unbelief. Why am I believing that? That's when you have to pray about it and say, Holy Spirit, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Why do I not believe you in this area? I need to believe you, and I want to believe you. But that was really, you believe what you speak. Just like the saying, people spend time with what they want to spend time with. They want to spend money, what they want to spend money on, right? You spend time with people though who you want to spend time with. Sometimes it's easy to believe the bad over good. That's why we speak it. And that's tough. You got to wrestle that thing out with the Holy Spirit and have Him look inside you and talk to God about it. He wants to talk to you about those things. And it takes time, you know, it's a journey. We believe the bad over God, and that's why we speak it. This is where worry comes and believing bad things will happen. Oh, the worst has always happened to me. I don't really get that. That's our own old unrenewed mind. That's stinking thinking. That's not what God says about you. He said, I will not let anything by any means hurt you. He said, I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. And he actually says, on the path of righteousness, there is no death. No death. So that's good. I don't want any death in my path. And this isn't just like confessing things and not believing the reality of faith. So we can understand the reality of where we're at, but then we can look at the word and say, okay, God, I need to get here. Because God doesn't give us sickness. God doesn't give us disease. But sometimes he allows those things, but he prays for us because sometimes he allows sins of others to offend us to make Christ formed in us. Just like he did when Satan sifted Peter. God didn't sift Peter. Satan did, but he allowed it so Christ could be formed in him. Sometimes we need those resistance muscles to be built. Not all the time, but sometimes he wants us to see where you're at and build some strength up. The third reason Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. We have to open our mouths and speak words, God's word back to him. He takes pleasure in that. And in this, we can see we're one. The sugar and the water have gotten inseparable. The sugar's dissolved. It's one. It's transformed. Right? I can't go in there and get anything up. But boy, that unbelief, it's not mixing. It's not set. It's icky. Right? Fourth reason, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice that a believing heart accompanies a mouth that speaks unto him. There's power in death in the tongue, right? When you speak what God has said to be true, this creates faith, and you feel it. You can feel that there's a grace that's equipping you and saying, yes, that's right. I feel like I got mountain-moving faith for this. And you can feel that. It stirs you up. Even in your worst days when you don't feel like it, don't be like that carnal Christian. I don't feel like it. You want to be like the 8 spies. I don't see anything happening. Just like the song we say, even when he's still working. He's always working. He's always working. It is finished at the cross, but his ministry's not done. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding for you. So I always remind myself, well, how can it not work out? Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. Praise God. Notice a believing heart accompanies a mouth that speaks unto him. Then in verse 17 in Romans 10:9, then go down to 17, Paul says, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that always builds us up when we come and hear preaching, or you're listening to podcasts, or you're just listening to the Bible, you know, on audio. Fifth reason, James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So if your spirit is not born again, your spirit is not alive, we are born of God, you're dead. So when people, I'm always amazed at Christians when they can say the world is acting like the world. They're dead. They're not alive. They're darkened in their understanding. Their spirit is not born. You'd be doing the same thing if you are not born again. Right? So just as the spirit is dead, they're not born again, so faith without works is dead. So faith leads us to good works, not the other way around where some denominations have it, right? Where we have good works, and then we're going to be better in God's eyes. When you speak what God has said to be true, this creates that faith and grace, for faith is released as you do this. Sixth reason, John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. That is always a really good verse to talk about, you know, like if you're not feeling the Lord, you're feeling distant from the Lord, like your words are spirit and they are life. Holy Spirit, speak to me. They're alive. Um, That's why Josh, after they did all this, I was reminded that Joshua and Caleb came back after seeing the giants and said, we are well able. They saw the same thing the 8 spies did, but they said, we are well able to take the land. Let us go in at once and possess it. It's interesting that they would say, just those two would say that. What was, you know, the difference that 8 of them were around the miracles. They were around the miracles, but they believed God because they saw it, and they were looking at the what they saw and heard, not with eyes of faith. Why would you need faith? I can see that there's a chair. You have to, faith is that evidence of it being real before it's even there, right? The evidence, you know, of doing that. So if they said to the giants, let's take the land, what giants are you facing today? And, you know, write that down in your journals and in your personal time. What giants are you facing today? Is it too hard for God? Didn't his blood remove every effect of sin over your life? Or is it there are some sins that that's a little too hard? No, he removed every effect of sin. His atonement, his propitiation for sin was perfect. Full payment. Full payment for everything. There's nothing that was too hard for him. He paid that full price. Full price. What we deserve, Jesus got on the cross. Can you imagine the groaning and the agony that God had to pour out the judgment on him for what we did, what we deserve? I deserved hell. I did not deserve mercy. I did not deserve grace. He paid for it. And then he judges the Lord. When we come to the Lord, he judges us and looks at it and he goes, yep, perfect. He declares a judgment over us and says, righteous. Righteous. There's no blemish, just like the perfect Lamb of God. There was no blemish. There's nothing. It's perfect. That's how he sees you. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us those eyes to see us as, like we were talking about on Sunday, his workmanship. You know? Are you convinced how powerful God is? Because this is the time now, in this moment, I feel like these kind of phrases are timely, because we don't know what's ahead for us after politics, wars, and all the things that are happening, right? But we can put our faith in God no matter what happens. Richard Warmbrand, a missionary that was, you know, they started Tortured for Christ, and he had a book called Tortured for Christ, and there was an interview, and he was looking at all the scars of him being beaten, and he just kind of laughed at it. He said it was a glory for him to be chosen to be beaten for Christ. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. But he didn't just do that right in that moment. He chose before. You know, not before when the gun's to your head, will you deny Christ? That's not the time to do it. Right now. Every day, daily, picking up your cross. Notice what God said concerning those who didn't mix faith with his word. In Numbers 14, 27 through 30. How long shall this wicked congregation complain against me? I have heard the complaints of the Israelites, which they complain against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, I will do to you the very things I have heard you say. Your dead bodies shall fall in this very wilderness. And all of your number, including the census from 20 years old and upward, who have complained against me, not one of you shall come into the land which I swore to settle you, except Caleb and Joshua. at first when I read that, it's like, ooh, that's kind of harsh. I mean, they just didn't believe you for, I mean, a little land. That was a big deal. Because this was the cost that he said, I'm preparing a land for you. He's given us all these things, but you have to go out and grab it and take hold of it. He has the promised land, but you have to go out and get it. You have to walk out your own salvation. You have to prove yourself. When you go to heaven and meet Jesus face to face, he's not going to say, what about your husband's faith? What about Pastor Ben's faith? You have to present yourself holy and acceptable. You do. And he did that through a whole generation because he wanted to eradicate all of it through a whole generation. Scripture tells us that not only did Caleb hold fast to his confession for 40 years, but 40 years later, when he was 85 years old, he said, give me the mountain with the giants on it. The words you speak release life into your faith. When we hear ourselves speaking and saying what God says, it produces faith more quickly than if anyone else did it. Once you pray, I think Charlie Capps would say this. He would say, once you pray, get in line with what you're saying. Say, once you pray, get your saying in line with your prayer. So once you pray, say like, God, I prayed that, you said that, whatever it is, it can do all things through Christ. You are with me. I'm not alone. You go before me. You go behind me. God requires us to hear him, to do what he says, and to trust him. So I'm just going to finish up with a quick prayer and then we'll get into worship here. So Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would search our minds. I pray that you would search our motives, Father. I pray that you would search our intentions, God. Help us believe you wholeheartedly, God. We want to believe you and your promises, and we want to be persuaded and convinced and have the assurance, which we can have, knowing that you are powerful, that you are mighty, that you will get us through anything that comes our way, God. You said you will work all things together for our good. Lord, I thank you for the purpose and the plans in each person's life in this room, God. Thank you for the destiny that you have for each of us, God. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we would be persuaded in our prayer closets of how mighty you are, how beautiful you are, how loving you are, God. There's nothing better than to look in your eyes, Father. We want to know you, God. We want to know you more than anything else, God. I don't want to know about you. I want to know you, God. So Holy Spirit.